If you would, open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 27. We're going to look at the thief, the two criminals on the cross this morning. It's those that I want to zero in on. And then I have a brother I'm going to call up and let share. Matthew 27, if you look with me, verse 35. And when they crucified him, so that's letting us know what had just taken place. When they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots, and were sitting down. They began to keep watch over him, and above his head they put up the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. Those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, and come down from the cross, you know, prove yourself." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we will believe in him," continue to belittle him. As we're reading through this, you really can see the love of Christ remaining upon this cross, even though man begins to mock and ridicule and attack. Verse 43, "He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he delights in him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Look at verse 44. "The robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him." So they're also dying. They're also on the cross with the breath that they have left. They're still insulting him with the same words. If you look with me in Mark chapter 15, verses 27 through 32. "They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.'" That is to say, he took our sin upon himself. Well, that is love. Verse 29. "Those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Ha! You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross.'" You really can see the world in the way that they attack the unbeliever. The ridicule, the attacking, you can see that nature. Verse 31, "In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes, were mocking him among themselves and saying, 'He saved others, he cannot save himself.'" Verse 32, "Let this Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross so that we may see and believe. Those who were crucified with him were also insulting him." I can only imagine between pushing their bodies up just to get breath to keep insulting, let alone, I mean, you're on the cross, so to fight for every breath was a challenge. And with the breath they had, they're still attacking Christ. If you turn me to Luke 23, verses 33 and 34, and then I want us to look at 39 through 43. "When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left." Look at the heart of Christ. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots, divided up his garments among themselves. You really can see the heart of Christ here. It's always been a very fond passage to me. Knowing where I came from in my life, there's a lot of times where I just go, "Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do." You know, that heart of Christ. Ultimately, every man's going to stand in front of the throne of God, though. Verse 35, "And the people stood by looking on." I'm not doing 35. I'm going to 39 through 43. You please follow. "One of the criminals who were hanged there," now we see the change. "One of the criminals who were hanged there," 1 minute, hurling abuses, insulting, right? One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." Sound like a prison break, right? Get us out of here. But the other answered and rebuking him said, "Do you not even fear God?" The reality of death began to sink in. I think they both started to hang on that cross, and while they had energy, we're joining the rest of them. But as that blood began to drain out of that criminal's body and the reality of death began to take place, the truth of Christ became very evident as Christ was hanging on that cross, not returning insult for insult, not reviling in return, but trusting his heavenly Father. "Are you not the Christ?" Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed are suffering justly. We've done wrong. We deserve it. For we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." That quick. Verse 44, it was now about the sixth hour, darkness fell. And then ultimately they're going to go into the ninth. But I would say probably within about a 3-hour time span, we see a change of heart of this criminal. And I was talking with Mr. Dan Soroka. Mr. Dan, you want to come up, brother? I warned him a little bit I was going to call him up. It just happened that way. A lot of you remember Dan just recently went through a pretty big health scare, is what we like to call it. But we weren't quite sure, brother, we were going to be able to hold you again. So you and I, we meet with discipleship, and we've been going now for a couple years. How many years have we been meeting discipleship?
I think it's 2.5.
Really?
Yeah.
He's flying through. He's doing way faster than I did. But you had the health scare.
Yes, I did.
And you and I were talking. You know, you'd went into the hospital. And you said there were some things God just began to teach you through that, solidify. You want to share?
I think so, sure. Yeah, you know, I guess one of the things you never want to have to say is to your wife, "Take me to the hospital," as you know what's going to happen. But on the way to the hospital, of course, Fran hit every bump in the road. And I was
Miss Fran, I just think there was bumps regardless. We talked about this. But I think you were so much in pain that everything was magnified.
Everything was magnified. And I'll be honest with you, some of the bumps were actually disrupting my prayers. But I got to the hospital, and of course, I prayed the whole time as I could. But once you get to the hospital and you basically say, I'm in trouble, and you submit yourself to the hospital, then they go to work on you. And from that moment on, there's a SWAT team. And these people know what they're doing, and they do a good job.
Well, they're practicing medicine, let's just say.
Yeah. I'm standing.
We practice mowing grass, too.
Yeah. You know? Well, I'm living proof that they did a good job in my case. But, once this process starts, you're not thinking clearly. And, in fact, when I was out under the pain medicine or under the antibiotics or whatever it was, I don't remember a single coherent thought that I ever had.
Do you remember what you were saying on the way to the hospital?
Well, I was hoping to see the face of Christ.
That's what you said. That's just what I kept praying.
Yeah, I did. And of course, a blessing on Fran. But I guess the point is, afterwards, it occurred to me that these passages that we just read, if you take them in the wrong way, they can be kind of dangerous. You know, I've always known about the thief on the cross. He snuck in at the last minute. And I think if you think about what happens in daily life, anyone could have an accident, anyone could go to the hospital, that you may never get a second chance to reach out and to do what the thief on the cross did.
I think what you told me was you said, you know, I really feel like it's important because people think that I'll just wait to the very end and then I'll
pray. That's right.
I remember when I was young thinking, well, I'm going to go live life the way I want to live it. And then right before I die, I'll receive Jesus. right before I jump off the cliff.
That's right.
I'll receive Jesus then. And you said, people might think that they're going to have that moment, but they're not guaranteed that.
That's exactly right.
Because you went in and it was just, it was a daze.
It was. I don't think I came, I was not in my right mind even when they released me from the hospital. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of lasting effects from some of this medication. I don't even know what it was. I just knew they poured it in me from mm-hmm. that IV. And I know you couldn't sleep because every 20 minutes it's beeping. You think the French fries are done, but it's the IV is done. But yeah, you know, I want to testify to the fact that you may not have a second chance. You may not have a chance to reach out just before you go on to see your maker. And so I think it's important that we keep that in mind.
I remember you sharing, and I said, wow, Mr. Dan, I said, what a great resolve in the community you live in, you know, the retirement community. The thought is you may think you're going to have time before you pass,
right,
but you're not guaranteed that. Because I think you and I met on Tuesday. You went home that evening, started not feeling well.
Right.
And I think, was it Wednesday you were taking him?
And early in the morning.
Wednesday you were taking him. And then even at different moments of talking, I remember Dan said, Mike and Fran weren't sure I was coming out. And I remember us talking with Pastor Greg and different ones, and we're going, I'm not sure, our brother, we don't know, you know. And we had just recently lost Mr. Mike as well. And so it was one of those things where we weren't sure, and you were like, I wasn't sure I was coming out.
No, I wasn't.
But on your way there, you said, I just kept praying, Lord, I just want to see your face. Take care of Fran. But yep. Then coming out, that resolve or that realization, people might think they're going to have a chance, but you're not guaranteed that.
No, you're not. You're not.
But what a great, that's a part of the message we share. You might think you're going to have time. Why wait? Why take that chance?
Yeah. Some people die suddenly, and other people, as myself, you go in a hospital and you think you've got time, but once a SWAT team starts on you,
yeah,
you don't know that you're in your right mind.
That's right.
I don't mean that in a derogatory way, because these people obviously did a great job. I'm here to live another day. But
well, we know that was the grace of God.
I know that. I know that. And I know there's a lot of prayers that were said in my behalf.
Amen,
and
brother.
And I sure appreciate that.
Amen.
So thank you all for that.
Appreciate thank you, brother. You. If you turn me to Hebrews chapter 3, part of the message that we carry is, you know, you're not promised tomorrow. And the way I grew up, a lot of the guys I grew up with, I can tell you right now, there was two of them, both on motorcycles. One was coming off Blanding on a 295, just got his motorcycle out of the shop. They were both guys racing, front tire flies off the motorcycle, gone, boom. Had two children, married. Another young guy was going right down Tustin Road, right there by my neighborhood. Tustin Road, truck pulls out, boom, gone. You know, both in their 20s, gone. Multiple guys I know right now, I can probably name five just on one hand, overdosed, never woke up from the life that I began to live. A good, very close friend of mine went into prison. I began to witness to him. He told me he didn't need that. Got an altercation in prison. And just at the end of last year, within a month, he was gone. And so you're not promised tomorrow. And so a part of the message we share is God loves you. And so I give you Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 8. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. You can go over again into verse 15 or verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. My point in all this is that, you know, the Jews would say, I'm a child of Abraham. Just because you sit in a church doesn't mean you made a decision for Christ. You have to be born again in his spirit. So if you're sitting in one of these seats today and you're not sure you've made a decision for the Lord, and maybe you just went to church your whole life because that's what your parents did or that's what you were supposed to do in order to be a good American or a good person, that's not what saves you. You have to repent confess your sin before God, believe that he loves you and he died on the cross to cover your sins and shed all of, to cover all of our sin. And that believe that he rose again on that third day and he conquered death. You believe that in your heart, you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're saved. But you got to want to. But you have to be born in the Spirit. Another point is, you might be saved and you might be holding on, and there might be things the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart of today that you need to let go of. No different is the Holy Spirit going to draw you to him for salvation. Is the Holy Spirit going to start convicting your heart that there's things in your life that you know don't need to be there, and God's telling you, you need to let that go. I would strongly encourage you to listen to him, because what he's doing is bringing freedom into your life. He's bringing victory into your life. He's bringing joy into your life. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, I just want to thank you that your love. I want to thank you, Lord, that you give us your word. And Father, we realize your mercy and your grace. And as long as there's breath in these lungs, we got a chance to turn and confess our sin to you and receive you as Lord and Savior. Praise God for that. But Lord, we also understand that the thought is I remember, well, I'll just wait right to the very end and receive you as my Savior. It doesn't work like that. Many of the men I grew up with, Lord, I don't know if they're in heaven or not. That's up to you. I trust your goodness and I trust your love. But I know we went to bed one day and we woke up and they weren't there anymore. So, Lord, we're not always promised tomorrow. So why wait? So I beckon you, church. If you hear his voice calling you today, don't harden your hearts. Surrender whatever it is God's working on you in, or surrender to him for complete salvation and enter into the joy of the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.